I'd like to call the meeting to order at 8 a.m. Would also like to ask as a courtesy to all that you turn off your cell phones and or pagers. Each director received notice of the board meeting. The public meeting notice was properly posted as required by law. Directors Borland, Christensen, and Munson indicated that they would not be present for this meeting. This time we have set aside time to hear from you, the general public. Those of you that are interested in providing comments should fill out one of the cards provided at the receptionist desk with your name and contact information on it. We have several that want to speak, and I would say we encourage you to speak your mind and tell us your thoughts. Be mindful, however, that while you can say anything you wish, the board cannot deliberate or discuss issues that are not posted on the meeting notice. This is not our requirement. It is state law. The board is limited in its ability to participate in discussions or deliberations by the provisions of the Open Meetings Act. The Open Meetings Act authorizes a government body to give members of the public an opportunity to speak at a public meeting and provide comments. However, the board may not deliberate or take action on any matters which has not been specifically posted on the agenda. In an effort to provide everyone an opportunity to speak, we request that each presentation be limited to 3 minutes. Our first speaker will be Mike Patterson.
Good morning, Chairman of the Board, and I'm just here. My name is Mike Patterson. We were the bidder on the divestiture package that y'all will be considering today, and I'm just here to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Next up will be David Payne.
My name is David Payne. We have a place out of Possum Kingdom. I'm also a board member with Camp Grady Spruce. Been out there since the 70s, actually. Right now, the fundraising for Frontier Camp is in limbo until the issue gets decided. The corporate YMCA board looks to us to make recommendations. We don't know what to tell them yet until this gets decided. We thought that the decision was going to be made almost immediately, but it looks like I said, we're in limbo. It's my understanding no one else bid. You guys wouldn't be the first to be disappointed by the bid results. I've been an architect for about 30 years and been through this before. Had to explain a lot of unfortunate realities, and I think this is a tough reality. I think this causes a lot of the PK businesses to be also caught in the same financial limbo. So I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Next speaker will be Kirk Mowry.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Kurt Mowry. I live in the Sandy Point Rocheron area, which is down the lower end of the basin, which is in Brazoria County. I am a fourth generation farmer. Our family farms rice, corn, soybeans, and grain sorghum down there. And in 2011, we celebrated our 100th year of being in continuous agriculture, and recognized by TDA in doing so. So we have a long history in agriculture and farming in that community and that area down there. The reason I came up here today is that in your previous board meetings, I've heard a lot of discussion and talk about water and lake levels and such like that. And I just wanted to come up here. It's a nice drive up here. Me and my wife drove up here yesterday, and it's not a short trip by any imagination from that part of the world. But I just wanted to stress upon you the importance of interruptible flow water that the storage and the BRA makes available to some of the irrigators down, particularly in our region. We're serviced by Gulf Coast Water Authority down there. They provide water not only for industrial and municipal needs, but they also supply water for agricultural needs too, and rice in general, what we grow. In our area, this past year, because of the drought and our need for being able to buy additional interruptible flow water, it's the first time in our 38 years of growing rice, we were not able to grow rice. We had to set that land out and put it into other production. And just to put that in dollar terms, that represented about a $30 to $35 million loss in our county. And we understand the drought's impact. And we know that because we need interruptible flow water, that sometimes those years will come in. And we understand that. And we will do what we need to do to be able to ensure that there's adequate water out there. I know our irrigator is in the process of putting in flow meters to try to help reduce the amount of water that's going through the system. So we're trying to do our part. But I want to stress upon you the reliability. And like I say, the drought is ongoing still. We understand that. But when the interruptible flow water is made available in those times, even a reduction would be much better than just a drastic not making any water available for that part of our business. Because like I say, you can't make long-term plans. Combines cost upwards to $400,000. Tractors are over $300,000. And you can't make a plan if you're not going to have water for 1 year out of five, or 1 year or 2 years out of five. It's just tough to make those plans. So we would ask that you take that in consideration. Last thing I have, and I believe in keeping things simple, so I'm not going to have a long, drawn-out statement, but I've had the privilege of serving on several committees that the BRA was involved in, and I want to comment and tell you that you need to be proud of your staff that you have here. The time and the diligence that they put forth in water models and coming up with these things. I know the previous one I served on was the environmental, and they did an excellent job on that. You need to be commended for that. I just want to thank you. Good luck on your meeting, and I hope if you have any questions later, be around. Thank you.
Thank you, Curtis Joe.
That's my dad.
Next up will be Stephen Williams. Pardon?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Stephen Williams. I'm on the board of management for the YMCA Camp Grady Spruce. I'm here this morning to talk to you briefly to encourage you to consider and to approve the bid made by Mike Patterson for the divestiture property. A significant portion of the property that is subject to the bid is a property that we refer to as the Frontier Camp. Frontier Camp has been part of the YMCA Camp Grady Spruce for over 50 years. This is a property that needs significant investment, and the YMCA Camp Grady Spruce would like to make long-term commitments to this property and long-term investments in this property. However, we are not able to do that until the issue of the purchase is concluded, and we are able to know that the YMCA can count on the long-term dedication of that property. This is important not just to the YMCA and to the camp, but it is important to the Possum Kingdom community. Camp Grady Spruce provides a significant benefit to the Possum Kingdom community. We bring campers, we bring families to the area, and having the Frontier Camp secured as a long-term element of the camp will enable us and allow us to provide additional recreational facilities, not just for campers who come to summer camp, but to families and to campers who come to the area throughout the year, allowing us to improve and make long-term plans for this property will allow us to bring more people to the area to enjoy the recreational benefits of Possum Kingdom Lake. This is good not just for camp, but it is good for the community, as those campers and those families who come and enjoy the recreational benefits also bring economic benefits to the Possum Kingdom community. So we would encourage you, not just for the sake of camp, but for the sake of the Possum Kingdom community, to consider and to approve the bid made by Mr. Patterson. If you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer those. Thank you.
Thank you. Next will be Ted Stanfield.
My name is Ted Stanfield. I'm actually the equestrian director at YMCA's Camp Grady Spruce. And as many of you know, we do have property out there in addition to the Frontier Camp, which is being considered for sale today. I would encourage you to move forward on this decision so that we can make our plans going forward. I have 42 horses out there. I service thousands of kids every year, year after year. It's such a great importance for what we do and what we do for the community and the other people. I'm not just talking to you today as a faculty member. I was a camper there when I was a kid. My mother was a camper when she was a kid. We want to make this place as good as a place as it can be, and we want to help promote not just camp, but also the lake itself. It's such a beautiful place, and more people need to get out to see it and enjoy it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next up will be K.W. Monroe.
Chairman and board members, thank you for letting me appear here. My name is Ken Monroe. I'm from Possum Kingdom Lake. I purchased a cottage there in 1963, and I've been there ever since. It's one of the few, excuse me, can you hear me now, sir? Okay, it's one of the few summer cottages that's left. Unfortunately, in 2010, when we purchased the land adjacent to the lakefront, it was determined that my cabin was in the water, in the lake bed. It hasn't been in underwater or in the lake bed since 81 when we had the big flood. So it's been on dry land ever since. But I'm classified as being there, and so that's an on-the-water facility. If in this new rules and regulations that come forward, if the regulations on a on-water facility hold, there is a possibility that I may be required to remove this summer camp of ours. We currently have an encroachment below the 1,000-foot contour line in effect, which was okay, and that needs to continue. But with the rules, I don't know how that'll apply. one of the requirements that's coming up in this new regulation is allowing sidewalls and back wall in the on-the-water facilities that are on the lake. To me, that is objectionable. In our particular case, we're in a cove that's concave, and there's three boat docks in there that extend out into the lake over 200 feet. All of them are either on or over the projected boundary lines. So if that's all boxed in, that's what I'll see is just a mass of walls over a third of the view of the lake. In the prohibited activities section, there is a ruling in there related to vehicles. I think it's subject to interpretation in that it's the rules for BRA lands, the lake beds and traveling of vehicles there. Now, you know, dune buggies and things that are not licensed are banned. But the way that it reads, as I read it, is that licensed vehicles can travel on BRA land and the lake bed. It's subject to interpretation. But if the those types of vehicles like Jeeps and Land Rovers can go up and down the beach, they'll tear up the beach areas, the water pipes. It creates a safety hazard, and it also creates a liability problem. So if the intent is to allow licensed vehicles to launch boats, which we need, then it needs to be made clear that that's the purpose of it. So thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. I want to thank everybody who spoke. We appreciate your participation.